Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Welcome back to The Awakening. We are so excited to be back with you guys again. We have a really incredible guest with us here today. His name is Sean Towers, and I am so happy to actually be able to say that he's a mutual of mine. And Jesse and I both know him from TikTok. We go pretty far back. We all work in the same spaces of deconstruction. So we are really, really thrilled to have you here with us today. How are you doing, Sean?
Oh, wonderful. Unscripted. I love it. I'm
Hi,
ready for the
Sean.
questions.
And just so everyone knows, we're mutuals, but I also call him my friend. Thank you, Sean Towers,
Yes,
for joining
ma'am.
us today. And
absolutely.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Okay, Sean, when you think of the faith space you grew up in, how would you describe the overall atmosphere?
I grew up in a lukewarm space, so it was a lot of religious talk, but no behavior that backed up the religious talk. So I personally, as an only child, did not go to church with my mom at all. We've never went to church. Her mom, my grandmom, she went to church, and I stayed with her for a few years and went to church on Sundays. Now, my grandma was my example of whatever Christianity was in my little mind at that point in time. And she was the one that went every Sunday, didn't curse, drink, and, just sweet old lady. And I found out later on through relatives that, that was one side. There was another side of her I didn't know. And that's common in Christianity where people, once they adopt their religion, the old, then they kind of tuck it away and, hey, I'm an angel. But so my experience was just that my religious space was lukewarm, people who partied just as much as anybody else, but they would claim to believe in Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What helped you back then? Did you feel like you belonged to the Christian community? Did you feel like you
Well,
were a part of that safe, the community space?
So what I have to do is I'm going to have to fast forward to adulthood because I really don't have any memories of church when I was younger, except that it was boring and I didn't understand what was going on. And I get popped in the mouth if I chew gum or fell asleep. And I just like to go to the basement. My grandma was a Baptist, so they cooked in the basement. I couldn't wait to eat. That's all I care about. I cared about when it came to church. So fast forward, as far as feeling welcomed in that space, oh boy, I was love bombed. I experienced what I thought was the greatest love. People welcomed me, in that space with open arms. Welcome to the family. And the messages, of course, kind of co-signed on this. I was rescued from darkness into this wonderful family of light. So for the first few years, I felt totally in place because of the, early childhood development. I had already been exposed to Jesus being the way and the only way. And so when I got saved, I took it all in, so I felt totally in place and thought that, I believe like some of the people, well, most of them that I go back and forth with every day, I believed like them. I believe I was probably way more devout. I noticed that devout, quote unquote, former believers, they usually do what we do. Because when they were believers, they believed like for real. So it's like the awakening, the same way they would preach when they were saved, the gospel. Now they preach the truth, and I noticed that. And so I had told Jesse, I said, I've never backslid. I don't know what that feels like. I was upset because I missed out. You mean to tell me I could have been drinking all this time? I could have been at the club and been at church on Sunday. I mean, and I swore my church was the holiest.
Yes.
And Yeah,
We've had this
everybody else.
conversation so many
Yeah.
times. It didn't matter what denomination you
That's
were,
right.
you were the chosen ones.
We were the ones, and it, as small as we were, we believed, and the only ones who were also chosen were connected to us. Cliquish, churches are very cliquish.
Yeah,
So it's
the sister
our
churches.
four and no more. There you go. And
Yes.
so yeah, initially my initial walk into Christendom was I felt welcomed. I felt in place. Strange as
Yeah.
it may sound strange, I don't know, but I did. And I think, oh, if I may, I think, and I never thought about this before, but I think it had a lot to do with my personal life and what I've been through in my life. And then one thing that church was good for is a place to cry, a place to express emotion, at least for myself. I didn't start that crying stuff until church. It was like, what the heck is going on? So I thought it was the Holy Ghost, didn't I realize, I was being manipulated. But and so yeah, so I think that was the connection for me, the love from the people, totally greater than it, this I felt, than the love for my natural family. My pastor used to say, never forget, you and your blood relatives are family by chance. He says, we are family by choice. And so it made it like, your church family was everything,
Oh,
and
yes.
your blood family, if they were not saved, then they need to be. And if they don't listen to us, then Jesse, you know what happens? You're shunned at that point.
Yes.
You know,
Yeah.
you're the child of the devil at that
Yep.
point. And
And you know,
so
Sean, we weren't allowed, when you talk about that, it brings back very vivid memories because when I was in the church building, right, we had Auntie June and Auntie Sis Hetch, Sister Hetchler. We had Auntie so-and-so. We had Uncle Buddy, and we had all these cousins when we would go to family, like Sunday picnics and Sunday get-togethers. And I remember saying when we had a funeral and I was very little, we came up north to a family member's funeral. I very much remember my parents telling me, this is not your family. These are just people you share DNA with. And I
Wow.
always was like, oh,
Wow.
okay. So it was very easy for me. So when I would go back to church, I would be like, I'm so glad to be back with my family. I would testify like that
Wow.
as a little girl. And the main issue was is that when I left the church and then came to family, they were strangers.
Yeah.
I and that
Yeah.
was a whole different perspective that I had to wrap myself around was because I was told that they were of the devil. They were going to hell. They allowed, demons in them. And I was 27 years old, and I remember coming up here and actually meeting my family for the first time. And that was like that was a shock. I did not reconnect with blood family after being so divided from family for so long. The only one I ever connected with was my grandmother. And then she passed away like 5 years into me moving here to Michigan. But you were absolutely correct. The amount of indoctrination and control that they put on you regarding who is family. You are in this world, but not of this world, becomes a very concrete point in your life of growing up. And
Absolutely.
then when you go back to be reintroduced to them, you're sitting there like, oh, they're an alcoholic, oh,
Yeah.
they're LGBTQIA, or they're this or they're that. And you find yourself in the midst in your own brain, like, but they're family that, wait a minute, how do we get rid of
Indoctrination.
these
That's
thoughts?
crazy. Indoctrination really changes the brain. That's a scientific fact. It's like if you can go back, if you're anything like myself, you ever heard that term? Did y'all use this term? Hate the sin, but love the
Yes,
sinner.
that
I
was yes.
really, and I looking back now, it was such a hypocritical position because all it meant was, treat them nice, be respectful, but in your mind, You're damning them to hell if they don't
Yes.
believe like you. That's what
Yes.
you're really doing. And my pastor had this way of going back to it's almost it's dehumanizing is what it is. I had a problem with the God of the Bible killing all the firstborn, right? And so one of the things that my pastor taught, listen to this, that children, babies, us in our humanity, when we see a child or a baby, we see a little boogie, 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 baby. But he said, God sees a sinner. You get
Oh
it?
no.
Yeah. So that's why, yeah, we may say all that, we would not have done that,
Yes.
but we may not understand God's love and his ways. However, when he sees us, he doesn't see what we see. He's holy. And so that baby is a sinner. And that's why it has to be. And this is one of the things that I was convinced of this, that that's why they have to be taught good and not taught evil. They already know how to fight, bite, scratch, and all that stuff. You got to teach them not to. It's the sin that's in them. And then imagine where that goes as they grows, and you run into Proverbs as a father that says, if you spare the rod, you hate your son, but you're gonna beat him with the rod and don't spare him because he's crying a lot. He ain't gonna die, but you're gonna save his soul from hell.
Yes. And they took it a step further too. When a baby or a young child died in our church, it was said, well, God sees the future and knows that they're going to do something awful, horrible in their life, so God
Then
took
why
them
create them?
first.
Why even let them be
Yeah,
born? That's the
exactly.
dumbest thing in the
That is
world.
so that
You
you
know?
know, if God is all-knowing, all-powerful, you know Dahmer was going to kill all those people, but you created them
Exactly.
anyhow. What the
Exactly.
fuck? Like
He's the evil one.
that makes me so angry. And you know, I'm a grandma, and I actually had we had this conversation with somebody else just earlier, but when I held my grandson for the first time, that whole you're born a sinful being, oh, I was raging mad because I'm looking at this perfect baby. Like there
Right.
is not a spot on this
Right.
baby, right? And I'm like, how in the hell could you lie to the whole world like this, you know?
Right.
It just Yeah.
and
And they not only just teach it, they believe it. So whenever
right.
you're, you know, having the shout and hallelujah going away party for a 9-year-old child that had an aneurysm, right? And you're sitting there as a young teenager, and the comments are being made around you is that God sees the future and he knows he's saving him from total damnation. So he took him first.
Wow.
It's like such a
Just ripped your heart out. Wow.
Now it does, but back then I remember crying, going, well, God saved you from whatever was going to happen in your future. Because, you know, I was that really good Pentecostal girl. And I just sat there crying for Jesus, making sure he took him first. And then when I deconstructed, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit that I was agreeing to?
And what I mean is like, okay, yeah, a loving God, what he'll do is allow your child to be born. You bond with that child, and then he rips your heart out by allowing the child to die. He, like the sister just said, oh, see, that's that church in me. I still say sister a lot. You see what I'm saying?
That's okay.
It
That's
says,
okay.
but like he just said, he's all knowing, all
Yeah.
powerful according to their theology. So this God could have chosen to not allow the child to be born. And that's why
Yeah.
I had did a video. I called him the God of the Squid Games, because he hides from you and demands that you find him amongst thousands of other invisible gods,
Yeah.
sharing all the same attributes, which is non-existence. And so, and then you have the penalty of if there's a such thing as a soul, an eternal soul, that is at stake. And he has the power to change, not just change that, to had done something totally different to show love, right? And so he sits back and watches, right? We know when, oh my gosh, one of the things, oh, I loved church for a while, but then I couldn't stand the jargon. Sunday morning, oh, how are you, brother? I'm blessed of the Lord, highly favored, and all this stuff. You couldn't say anything like, I have a, oh, my head is killing me. If you say kill, oh
Yes.
no,
Oh, yes.
everybody's
I
on it.
remember one time I called my mother-in-law and I was on the phone with her and I uttered the term holy crap. And she's like, Heather, I just don't think there's anything holy about crap. And I was just like, you've got it. I got off the phone and I was like, literally told my husband, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like,
Unbelievable.
what the heck, you
Yeah.
know? But that was my dad, when he remarried, you know, his wife, she's so strict. Like, she won't even go to the movies because she's afraid that somebody will think that she's watching a secular film or something
Right.
that's not, you know, G-rated. And I'm just like, they literally have cut themselves off from so much of the world that they don't even get to enjoy their life.
But it's
But
from the
right.
appearance of evil. It's not
Right.
just what is evil. It is
Right.
for any of those things that can be the appearance of evil.
Yes.
So when you get down
Yeah.
to the nitty-gritty, right? It's not like somebody's going to look at me from the church when they see me outside in the mall. They're judging me by whether or not my appearance and what I'm
Yes.
doing is going to be perceived as evil. And that is a lot of mind control. Because I gotta tell you, I walk around probably looking like I'm
Yeah.
evil half the
And the
time.
hypocrisy with them really drives me nuts because my dad is literally the one that will post the Bible verse about welcome the stranger. And then his next post is like praising Donald Trump and what ICE is
Right.
doing. And I was like, what the f like, you're
Right.
such a hypocrite, but you
Right.
can't see that. Like,
Right.
this dude is the one who literally raised me to, you know, die standing up for what I believe in. Like, the whole
Wow.
Jesus freak, like, I was ready to be martyred as a teenager for
Yeah.
my faith. And
Yeah.
believing in God, I just never knew that the people would be persecuting me would be the church and the
Yeah.
people that I used to share a pew with because they aren't who they advertise themselves to be. You
Exactly.
know, I mean, really for me, my deconstruction was such an eye-opening experience because, again, these things that we talk about all the time, that self-worth that thing is so huge for people that are coming out of high-control religious spaces because it's the number one thing that they teach us. They teach us that
Exactly.
and they teach us the fear of hell because fear is what keeps us in the seats. The
Exactly.
fear is what keeps us from questioning what we've been taught. The fear
Exactly.
keeps us from, you know, diving deeper and exploring more of this stuff because I know so many people that literally can deconstruct to a point and then it's almost like they get too scared and then they run right back to the church. And
Right.
it's like, why? Why would you not keep going? You know,
Right.
like you're
Is
so
it? Is it? And
close.
is, and you know what's amazing? And I'm sure you girls will agree that you're truly free now. Remember when we thought that whom the sun sets free is free
Yes,
indeed? And we
Steve.
swore we were free and we had the
Yes.
Bibles and oh man, and we talked about church and it was an awesome service, all this
Yes.
stuff, right? But now on the outside, looking backward retrospectively, it's like, what
Yeah.
bondage? I tell this story about me being in a food line grocery store and shopping, and a song came over the loudspeaker, and they, you know, I started patting my foot, and immediately I panicked and started to repent, you know, asking God for forgiveness because I was patting my foot. I'm bouncing to a secular song, and
Oh,
so
wow.
that, you know. Freedom, freedom,
Exactly.
and I never understood this. We sung songs about how Jesus paid it all, right? And come on, third grade. If he paid it all, that means the bill is paid. There's nothing
Yes.
left to be paid. So why is it that the Christian's walk every day is this walk of make sure you don't do anything sinful? You know,
Yeah.
watch who you're around and, you know, don't eat
Yeah.
that, don't drink that. And it's like, okay. And then I'm still in danger. Like at my church, probably same with yours. If I didn't give 10% of my income, I'm still
Yes.
facing a curse. It was so
Yes.
conflicting and confusing. It's almost like if I told you, hey, I got you a car. And I paid for it. You're like, oh, do I owe you? No, I paid for it. It's yours. Give me a key. You like ecstatic, right? You tell your girls, you go out, you're driving around. And then one day you come out for your lunch break and you see that the car is being pulled by a tow truck. You stop them and you find out they're taking the car for non-payment. And then
Yeah.
you call me up, like, look, they're taking my car. It's like, you know, you pay for it, right? I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah. But you still gotta make payments.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
That is
And they act, you know,
exactly.
and they claim that Jesus paid the debt, but the way they
Right.
live their life, they act like he ain't paid for a thing, you know? So,
Because you
like,
have to pay every day.
yes. And it's like exhausting when you do really look at the Bible, look at the things that are in it, you really examine the God that's in the Bible, okay? Because, okay, let's just be honest. The first lie that was ever told in the Bible, you said this in one of your videos, it was told by the God of the Bible, right? Like, and this is something that I didn't learn. I was part of the faith for 36 years and I never knew that. And it wasn't until I literally started looking at counter arguments, like
There you
atheist
go.
posts, I did. And
There you
I
go.
was like, oh my gosh, you know, like I got mad when I learned how much I'd been lied to.
I tell folks that's during deconstructing. That is like, once you get through the like the initial shock, all anger is following,
Yes.
and it can last years. Like
Yes.
I'm still, I'm not walking around angry, but
Yeah.
when I talk and think about when I listen to the people and I think, oh my gosh,
Oh,
that was
yes.
me. Was that me? And but you can
Yes.
see so clearly, and you know that they're being manipulated.
Yep.
It makes me angry,
Yeah. And
Especially whenever I get people from my past who I see sometimes in my comment sections, right? And or I'll be sent a Pentecostal service with how they perform and what they do. I told Heather this earlier. I never thought of myself as an angry atheist, but I am an angry anti-theist. Yeah, you have reason to
Because
be.
when I look at that and I sit there and I'm like, okay, let me bring my DSM-5 book with me to church instead of the Bible, and like, well, I just get
this is
frustrated,
the
like when people deny other people's trauma in their lived
Ooh.
experiences, you know,
Oh,
that's so
yeah.
frustrating for me because, like, you know, I said it last week on this show, but I literally just found out that I have PTSD from my religious trauma. And I was a little pissed off about that because, like, seriously, going to the church ain't supposed to give you PTSD. But the reality is I tell people this all the time, the rot starts at the core of the beliefs, this
That's right.
foundation of the faith. Because people say, oh, the church didn't hurt you, people did. Yes, but those people are believing the foundation of that faith. So we have to hold that foundation accountable. And until you're willing to examine that and be honest about the harm that is actually being caused to people, you're never going to have a safe place for people to be in community with you because
And
you're
it's
going to
like,
continue to cut people, you know, like. And I heard this statement like a few months ago, but this woman literally said that, you know, like her experience was like a million tiny cuts that bled her dry. And I was like, that's exactly what my experience was in religious spaces because there was nothing left of me when they were done with me. They took everything. Like there was a 10-year period where I prayed daily for the Lord to just take me out of this world because I was so depressed all the time. And leaving that place, leaving those spaces, that was the very thing that gave me everything back. Like, I wouldn't
And
be here if
Christians,
it wasn't for it.
right? And Christians say this all the time. They're like, oh, you know, you don't need people and you don't need like a church to have a relationship with God. And I'm like, well, then why is your next statement, come to my church? And
Yep.
another thing, going back to what you were saying earlier a few minutes ago, the church likes to separate themselves from it's this thing like, well, the church hurt you, right? And
Yep.
so it's not like, you can't blame Jesus or whatever. No, you stop them and say, the Bible says that there are many members, yet one body. That body makes up the church, okay? You can't
Yes.
see a God. You can't see a Jesus. You are responsible. And
Yep.
so what they try to do is, victim blame. They want to make you feel bad about voicing your giving your voice about your abuse, whatever it
Yeah.
is that you are dealing with. But then and Jessica can speak about this forever, but it's like, in my opinion, from what I've seen in the church, supposed to be a place for people to go heal. Women in marriages were like that, you could tell that they were
Yeah.
unhappy,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
And then the
Absolutely.
men, very, 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 the hierarchy, and women sit hush, You know, even the pastor, he would talk to his wife that way. And whenever he would preach, you know, he would use the term out of the Bible, silly women laden with sins and stuff like that. And there was a reason why, you know, Paul, whoever it was, told them to be silent in the church, or Peter, whoever the heck said it. But anyhow, so instead of the church being a place allegedly for the sick to come to receive healing, the church, first of all, going back to the foundation of the faith, the very idea that you are nothing, you are born with a condition that makes you worthy of eternal torture. That alone, right there, you know, which brings about that term, yes, Lord, yes, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You are a glutton for pain, and you have Stockholm syndrome. And the more pain that you go through, it's like we're taught the more he loves us. Why? Because he saves his what? Toughest battles for his strongest soldiers.
I literally,
Make stuff up.
And I literally had done a video just yesterday where a pastor was talking about that, how, you know, the devil only attacks God's best people. And I'm like, count all suffering for the glory of God, right? We're supposed to be miserable our entire lives. And that's how we know that we're God's favorite. Well, God, if that means that I'm God's favorite, then I don't want to be his favorite
Exactly.
because I don't want to be like Job. I don't want
Job.
him to pick on me like
Right.
that.
I
No,
had
not at
trauma. I
all.
had trauma over Job. I had trauma over Job and Jesus because I thought I had no hidden sin. And so I felt what God allowed to happen to Job. Oh my gosh, I have no hidden sin. Like I'm not sinning. I have nothing. I can't think. I have no foolish thoughts. And if I do, I cast it down quick. But that means the door is open for God to say, have you tested my servant Sean? So
Right.
I was scared, right? But then Jesus,
Wow.
the one that scared me with Jesus is, I thought I was going to die at 33.
Wow.
I literally thought I was going to die at 33. And so look at that. And just look, and of course, you know, we could stop talking about hell. Amazingly, I didn't battle much with the hell idea when I deconstructed, only because it was not saying it works for everybody. This is what worked for me. I'm a parent and a grandparent. And so all I had to do was think about how much I loved my children and grandchildren, and say, Sean, what would it take for them to do for you to unalive one of them? The thought alone,
It's
I didn't want
so
to think, but
disturbing.
there is zero, there's nothing that I'll lose my life trying to save their life. I will not take it, right? And so when I think of the context of the fiery hell, right? Not just, and also the education set me free. When I learned that it didn't exist in the Old Testament, and you know the story. Eternal torture, there is no greater evil or a torture that you can think of than eternal torture, because the worst torture, and I've seen what Saw and all of the horror, gory stuff,
Me
but
too.
none of it compares to eternal that. Imagine, right? And so I would think, I know people who are Muslim who are way more loving than many Christians I know. But you mean to tell me that a loving God, not a God that has love, but a God that is love, where all love emanates, will send this warm person to an eternal damnation because they use the brain that you gave them. And with that brain, they said, I don't think serpents ever talk. I don't think donkeys ever talk. I don't believe that. If you're dead, you're dead. Well, you're going into an eternal. It's so easy to understand the control mechanism in that idea, right? It's so easy to understand why.
And that's what I often say is like, you know, when it came for me deconstructing the idea of heaven and hell, or the stories in the Bible, or Adam and Eve, or angels versus demons, those things were so easy for me to say. Once I didn't believe in one of it, none of it held any power for me at all. Where was I before I was born? Where am I after I die? It became very like that. That's just like me reading Harry Potter. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever read for being a deconstructionist, right? I was like, I don't struggle with these kind of debates that people do about slavery or about non-slavery in the Bible. It was all bullshit. And it was really easy for me to deconstruct those thought patterns. Not that I don't argue them with with Christians today. I'm just saying for my own self, it wasn't even a second thought. But that indoctrination, those are things that I wake up in the morning and say, I'm blessed and highly favored of God when I wake up.
And
And
I
I'm
still
like,
say
say
the
the word
devil
blessed all the time because
is
I
a liar.
can't
What
get that one out of my vocabulary. It's like,
the
I don't know what to use instead
fuck
of
did
blessed. I'm just like, I hate it, but
just do?
it
Ooh, and
is
that's
what
the one
it
I don't use. I don't use the
is.
blessed one. It's the only one. Like I just said it. The devil is a liar. And I don't
The
say it out loud
devil
to people. I say it to
is a
myself. Like, you know
liar.
how you think about what you think about? And when I'm
Yeah,
thinking
that's
about
what
what
I'm
I'm
talking
thinking
about.
about. Yeah, it didn't like, oh, devil is a liar. You know, like, oh, there I go again. But for the most
But
part, I just let it go because I know what I mean. I just reject that thought, you
can I
know?
tell you something? I changed scriptures now to fit myself in today's world, right? My
Excellent.
deconstructed mind. So I'll be like, my favorite scripture is to do my interpreted theology on is like, I will lead you into temptation, and I will not deliver you from evil, thus saith the word of God. So I take scriptures that will come into my mind when I'm doing something,
And
obviously.
Jesse, I got
I change it.
in my ebook that I'm doing is a section called Speaking with New Tongues. And that's the concept. Taking back. Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
You
that's
take,
cool.
yes. Instead of saying bless, you know, you gotta come up with something else. And just replace it.
Right?
Replace it. Make it mean you give it meaning. That's taking back your power. That's
That's
right.
exactly what I do. I change all the scriptures that usually have, holy, like devotional kind of things,
I
and I make them
love
sinful.
it. We did it with Halloween in my church. We turned it into Hallelujah night. Well, you know, the church did it.
So you have landed into humanism after
Yes.
deconstructing from Christianity. So you can tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my goodness, I'm loving the HA. I'm trying to get more black people aboard, but it's all good. I did not know that I would take this path. That's why I love my life at this point in time. But however, I knew that I wanted to do something from a legislative perspective. I knew I didn't just want to, because I got tired real quick on TikTok going back and forth with people. It's like, okay, all right, what's next? You know, and it's like, all right, organizations like the AHA, through them, they are so resourceful. I'm actually being paired with my local branch here. And so I'll be doing some speaking engagements and stuff like
Oh,
that
cool.
coming for the AHA. But I remember being, when I was a Christian, it was the ACLU. They were like enemy number one, in that, you know, a secular organization that's stood up for the rights of folk. And I never thought in a million years that I would be on this side. Never, right?
Same.
And so yeah. And so, but I can say that I know that I'm right this time. No faith needed. No faith needed.
Not at
I
all.
know that I'm right when I stand for humanity above magical thinking. And so I get excited about humanism the way I get excited about, I'm going to have a couple of shots of tequila. That gets me excited when I get the music. You see, and
Not
I'm just, you
tequila,
know,
Sean. Not tequila.
hey, well, you said, hey, we're on freaking, what is it, Zoom? So you can
Zoom.
talk like
Tequila makes my
that.
clothes fall
Hey,
off.
that's that.
Listen,
Hey,
I would
hey,
only need one margarita and I would be
we.
zooted, like
That is
whatever.
the wonderful part about being an adult human. We do what we want to do.
Absolutely. And I do love that about being an adult.
Oh,
I have to say this. It's not that I want to do. It just the that is a miracle. Tequila works
honestly,
as
though,
holy water with
I
me. You
almost feel
anoint
like.
me with holy water, and my clothes melt away.
All
There are
right.
times, though, where I almost feel like a teenager, though, because a lot of the things that I wasn't allowed to do at that age, I'm able to do them now, but
Right.
I'm a little old to be doing them, but I'm still doing them.
Exactly.
I'm
But I
sorry, I
want
just took the
to.
whole conversation somewhere
No,
else,
that's fine. I'm
Sean.
still back. I'm back. I'm back. I got it. The and so I'm excited once again. I'm a member and partner, and we got a lot of great things in store. They are constantly fighting. I couldn't make it to Capitol Hill
I believe that's where they were recently fighting for. I forget what it is in particular. But anyhow, and if I'm not that sharp tonight, I had a long day, but
It's
I'm here.
okay. It's okay.
I'm very, very happy about being part of AHA and just the concept of humanism. And I got this saying from Rob, I forget his last name, but Robert is a content creator. And he would say, being human is enough. He would say, being human is enough. He would say that all the time. And I thought about it and it's like, oh my goodness, because I know you guys hear this a lot too. When people deconstruct, one of the first things when they begin to deconstruct and realize, you know what, I am losing my faith, is what do I believe in now?
Yes,
What do I,
yes,
and automatically thinking they have to believe in something. And
yes.
so just learning that, this whole God idea is a man-made idea through our ignorance. Once you realize, I mean, that's magic. Like you, not just being human is enough, but you are your own unique you. No
Yes.
other prototype exists. That's one of those things too. That's a great message for content creators because they can get into looking at views and stuff like that and feeling, oh, well, somebody's doing better than me and stuff like, no.
You're
You
the only
are
one.
the only
Yes.
one. You're not in a race with no
Yes.
one. So you have total creativity and freedom,
Yep.
you see.
Yep.
And so that should bring about a focus to say, hey, I'm not in competition with anybody. Not only
No.
am I not in competition, but there is no other me. That's wonderful.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
there is going to be things that you can share in your content and insights that you're going to have that I'm not going to have. But then when I post my little videos, when I'm having a conversation with myself, there might be a little nugget in there that you might not have shared.
Yes.
And I think that's
Yes.
what the beauty is about having all these different outlets for people now, is
Right.
that we have so much diversity in what we can offer people. And, people can find what it is that really suits their needs and where it is that they're wanting to go with their deconstruction journey. Because,
Right.
there are a lot of people that do initially deconstruct into another faith path. That was me.
Right. Right. Did you really?
I've literally just come out of the closet as being agnostic.
So would okay, so is that what you mean? Going from one other, I thought you meant like going from one religious faith to
I
another
did.
religious
I
faith.
went from being like part of the evangelical church into Celtic spirituality and Christianity.
Oh,
And
okay.
then I'm actually still ordained because I still keep that so I can marry the queers.
Right.
And do weddings and stuff like that and funerals. But I have left the faith. So yeah,
Yeah.
that's me. Like, I'm a big girl because I kind of got to the point where I was like, I don't need God. Like, and I know that sounds smug. Like, some people, they think it sounds so arrogant,
Oh,
but I don't
you mean to tell
need
me you're gonna
God.
live your own life? Are you
Yeah, like
crazy?
I don't need to outsource my power, like when I look at my life and
Right.
everything that I've ever needed or, accomplished or achieved, I've done that on my own. There was no magical fairy waving no wands. And I can remember times where I prayed so hard for a miracle to happen when I could have just changed shit myself and it would have
Exactly.
gotten done so much faster. Like,
Exactly.
and I get disappointed at times because it's like, wow, we were stuck for so long, for so long. And it wasn't until we left that things got better. So I gotta ask, if somebody is just starting their deconstruction journey, what is a piece of advice or a word of wisdom that you could give them?
Oh, the first piece of advice I would give them is to listen to atheist Christian debates. Listen to
Yes.
debates. I would tell them to listen to a lot of Hitchens because I never heard opposing views throughout my Christian life
Me neither.
because my
Yep.
circle was
Never.
Christian. Who was going to
Yeah. Yeah.
oppose, right? And so that would be the first thing to get acquainted with hearing those opposing views because it'll open up your mind to questions you didn't even think to ask yourself.
Yeah,
And
that's true.
I would start there. And community,
Yes.
I've learned, see, I'm a loner type of guy anyway, so I'm not one that needs a lot of people, but I know that that is huge, right? So I would say start with the debates, get accustomed to opposing views, and then you plug into folk like us, and you know, and that's what, you know, organizations like the AHA, all of that just comes full circle, because coming out of the church, the loss of community is huge. I did feel it. I missed people for a minute, but for myself, I realized it was just like when I used to hang with all the gang bangers and the dope dealers and stuff like that. Well, I got out of that environment and changed my life, and so we have nothing else in common, so I have no more of those friends.
Yes.
You remove all of the praising Jesus and the church stuff out of the way, you
Yes.
find you don't even have anything in common. You ever had that weird feeling?
Yes.
I know you did around a family. It's kind of, hey, you know, but you feel you have nothing to talk about because,
No, and it was always a performance because you
yeah,
couldn't share what was really going on because
there
you
you
had to
go. You
have
couldn't
that
be
air of
real.
perfection all the time.
That's
So
right.
you could never be authentic and genuine with everybody. And I always say it was always like I had a mask on all the time, you know,
Yeah.
because I was to be seen and not heard unless
And
I was saying the right things.
I want to add also, it's very important to get mental health therapy and seek out a
Yes.
therapist that specializes in religious deconstructing,
Yes,
because
absolutely.
they have a better grasp on what we go through. And that
Yes.
is huge, because I'm sure you guys like me, therapists were, they were a no-no. You
Yeah,
do not, you
yes.
take it to the Lord in prayer.
It actually Leave it took
on
me
that altar. That's
a
right.
long time to actually go to therapy because the only type of, you know, therapy or counseling I'd ever had was Christian counseling, and oh my God, you know what that is. It's just
Shadrach,
trauma.
Meshach,
It was even more and
trauma.
Abednego.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I actually went to therapy, I was really scared at first, but therapy's good. Do
I have to
it.
tell
Tell
you
you
this.
this.
Right, when I
first left, I've always been in therapy. The minute I left the cult, when I moved to Michigan, I went into social work into mental health, and I instantly started going to therapy. But I realized when I was going to therapy, I was doing things about boundaries, raising children. I became a I did parent teaching, you know, how to raise a parent, the step teaching on what the behaviors were and natural consequences, and became very involved and taught classes for other parents to do the step parenting. And I found myself doing things that were like immediately on the surface, like things I needed to do in order to get through a day or a week, or to just kind of become some kind of light for my chaos. But nobody knew the chaos. But I never would talk to these therapists about what had actually happened. And I realized that therapy this time, you know, I actually sought out a trauma therapist in the last 2 years, that the surface stuff I got. Nobody's going to know anything about me when I go to a job or when I go through my day. Nobody looks at me and thinks, oh, that's a Pentecostal girl who's really struggling with this, 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 and this, and the list goes on and on sometimes, right? But then when I actually started the trauma therapy and they started going into the harm and the religious harm, and she was a deconstructionist herself. I also sought out somebody who was not of the faith, and I made sure somebody that was a secular therapist for me to go to, because I realized that whenever I would go to the other therapist, they would say, oh, have a blessed week. And then I would shut down for the whole week. And I think what you said was really important, is to get rid of the myths, because it's like being fat and overweight. That's not the problem.
That's right.
Food's not the issue. There are other issues. You need to go down, you know, two or three more layers to actually pull out what's going on. And it becomes really uncomfortable. And I'm going to let people know from experience that trauma therapy with religious trauma therapy is not easy. It is really difficult. It is messy. Sometimes you leave that therapy office thinking, I'm not ever coming back to this place. I can't handle this another day. But it's really important because it gets to the root of all of that junk that you've been holding on to
And the
for
difference between
years.
therapy, I'm sorry to cut you off because I got to say it fast, is that you see accountability, being introduced to accountability when everything in religion was under the blood. Take it to God in prayer. There was no personal accountability. You had people who simply needed to take accountability for their actions and change. It's change. Don't do it no more, you know? And
And
so,
it's those patterns, Sean. It's like when I realized 2 years ago and I stepped away from a 14-year relationship, right? I look at people like, oh, well, this and this and this. I'm like, yeah, but you guys, you got to understand. I had formed patterns in my life that I felt more comfortable with, a patriarchal man, a man who was in the church, a man who demanded certain things because I know how to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I'm like, so whenever and every time these relationships no longer worked for me, I had to be accountable for the patterns that I
You
refused to
continue
change
to,
to be different.
You know, abusers look for Proverbs 31
Oh, yes, they do.
women. You know that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they want to be able to
Really?
go to work and then come home and play their video games while their wife takes care of the kids, does their laundry, and does everything.
See, the
Like
problem was I
it's.
really wasn't a Proverbs 31 woman. I just could
Did you
mask
act like one?
it.
You act or fake it till you make it.
And then I realized, but you're absolutely right. Holding myself accountable for the patterns that I have allowed to be created within my life, that is when change started happening 2 years ago because I said, this is not the correct pattern. Let me do a reason why I always go to patriarchal relationships and why I don't go to patriarchal relationships. And when I wrote that on a paper of the reasons why I don't go to patriarchal relationships, I realized those patterns were seated and rooted. And what thus saith the word of God said.
And now it's time to ignore all that crap. Because
Exactly.
you're a Jezebel now, remember?
That makes my clothes fall off.
Well,
I'm
I'm
sorry.
definitely going to leave a link for your website for our listeners here. That way they can find you, and keep an eye on what it is that you're doing.
We got some great things coming. And what I'll do is go ahead and leave them the link with AJ, my partnership link with them, because I want as many people as possible to get to a website because a lot of people don't know that they're even around.
And they
And
have
so,
therapists on that
oh my
website. They
goodness.
have
And the
connections
partners,
on that website. They have partners that are secular on that website. I know in my community, you can reach out to my community and you can find lawyers, doctors,
That's right. That's
people
right.
who
That's
are in the
right.
secular world that do not believe and are come from a space of where
Absolutely.
you're believing. And it's really important to reach out to those things. And AHA is a fantastic. We say this all the time. Once you come to our home, you're a guest the first time around. After that, you know where the fridge
You're
is.
part of
So
the
that's
family.
so
And to our listeners, we just really appreciate you guys being here and listening to us once again. If you enjoyed this
thank you.
episode, please hit that subscribe button. We would enjoy to have you guys back here with us again next week for another episode.
And thank you so much,
Dude,
Sean, for being
not a
with us.
problem.
Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived.